final case today is Chiorba against the INS, or whatever the INS has mutated into recently. Mr. Mwange.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Godfrey Mwange for the petitioner Daniela Chiorba, who comes to this country from Romania and applied for asylum before the Immigration and Naturalization Service, which referred her application to the immigration judge in removal proceedings. Daniela conceded that she was subject to removability because she had overstayed her visitor visa and requested relief in the form of asylum and withholding of removal. The immigration judge set the case over for a hearing on the merits of the relief applications she had made, and at the beginning of the hearing, during petitioner Chiorba's testimony, the immigration judge restricted the period about which she could testify to 1991 and 1996 and did not permit her to testify about any events prior to 1991. We are here today to ask you to reverse the board's decision affirming without opinion because we believe that the immigration judge's decision contains errors that the board should have corrected, and that this case does not qualify under the board's streamlining procedures, where the board can assign a case to a single member of the board to determine whether or not the decision should be affirmed. And if the single member determines that it should be, affirm it without opinion. In this case, we believe that the restriction of Chiorba's testimony was unreasonable because it was not supported by the immigration judge advising or stating for the record why she had to testify only about that period. The record contains a statement by the immigration judge that everything else was too remote, but without any accompanying explanation why events which underlie her claim were not reasonably included or should not be reasonably included in her testimony. The other reasons that we believe the immigration judge's decision should have been reviewed for include making an evaluation of the claim only based upon the written application and concluding prior to testimony that the application for asylum that this woman had filed seemed to be frivolous, and also finding, which the immigration judge did, that her claim did not have any connection to one of the five bases under which asylum may be granted under the statute. Finally, the immigration judge defined persecution in a very narrow way by requiring that Chiorba show that she had been physically harmed in order to qualify for asylum. We believe that these are errors that the board should have reviewed. We don't believe that these are harmless errors, and we don't believe that the board applied the guidelines it has promulgated correctly in this case.
Counsel, are you attacking the authority of the board to have the streamlined procedure used in this case, or are you just attacking its use in this particular case?
Your Honor, we concede that the board has authority to promulgate streamlining procedures. We do not contest that. We believe that after it promulgates those procedures, it is bound by those procedures. It cannot arbitrarily depart from the procedures. It has to apply them evenly. In this case, the procedure is required because there are errors in the immigration judge's decision that this case not be assigned to a single member of the board. And in that respect, we believe that the board has erred and has misapplied its streamlining procedures.
Is there any meaningful standard against which the court could review the board's decision to streamline in this case?
Your Honor, the measures are new. We haven't seen enough case law come down from the courts regarding that issue. It is a difficult proposition because, on the one hand, everybody admits that the board needs to have a way to quickly review the cases and be efficient in that regard. However, the board has specified under what circumstances these streamlining procedures would be applied, and the board has said that if a case presents no new issue, all the issues in the case are subject to some of its precedents, and the immigration judge correctly applied the precedents, and the board sees no error that it believes is prejudicial that it has to correct, then it's proper for it to apply those streamlining procedures.
So your argument basically is because she really wasn't permitted to testify fully, streamlining would be particularly inappropriate. Isn't that your argument?
That is one of my arguments, Your Honor, and an accompanying argument is that not only was she limited in her testimony, when the immigration judge analyzed the testimony, the immigration judge applied an incorrect legal standard in a couple of instances, the first of which is defining persecution as requiring a showing of physical harm, and the other of which precluded Ms. Shiora's asylum claim from the social...
So I don't understand what the significance of this one-member versus three-member business is. If the immigration judge made a legal error, then what difference does it make whether there was one member or three? Our job is to reverse. And if the immigration judge did not make a legal error, what difference does it make whether the BIA used one member or three?
Your Honor, there is no difference between those situations, and we are not arguing that there is. We are arguing...
But there's just nothing turns on whether the BIA had one member or three.
Your Honor,
it is whether it was correct to affirm the immigration judge's decision.
Your Honor, we contest the fact that the BIA elected in this case to apply the streamlining guidelines the way it did, ignoring the fact that its own guidelines require that it not assign a case where there's legal error to a single member of the board.
Right.
To decide
the board
to affirm
there
without
was no
opinion.
Legal error. Now that may be right or wrong, but it was the board's conclusion that there was no legal error. Right? It just seems redundant to think about the one versus three choice. We should just be thinking about the question whether the immigration judge committed a legal error.
Your Honor, and we have cited the legal error the immigration judge committed. And on that basis and the misapplication of the streamlining guidelines, we are requesting a reversal, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mr. Chancellor.
May it please the Court. I'm Lyle Jenter from the Department of Justice Civil Division, and I represent the INS today.
Do you?
As of
is
today,
there an INS?
As of today, it is. The department doesn't change over till later this month.
When does it wink out of existence?
I believe the end of January, although I am not fully certain of that, Your Honor. But it's still the INS as of
the INS today. Is an input, but by the time we decide this case, it may be the Bureau of Citizenship and...
I don't know that they've come up with a complete name yet, Your
Honor. There's a name in the Homeland Security Act.
I'm sorry. I'm not quite sure.
All right.
We remain the same. We're still part of the Department of Justice, and we will represent this entity, whatever name it chooses to call itself.
Whatever name Congress called it is, I'm sure that...
Yes, Your Honor.
What happened.
Petitioner
we know that the that aliens and their lawyers have many different names for it, but we won't be using them.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate that. The petitioner, Chiorba, raises a number of issues before this court, and it looks like they're now narrowed down as far as the streamlining. The way I understood the argument that just ensued, the petitioner is not challenging the BIA's authority or the Attorney General's authority to promulgate regulations to streamline. She is challenging instead the BIA's determination in this particular case to issue a streamlined decision. The court need not reach that issue, though, because in this particular case, in any event, Chiorba was clearly not eligible for asylum or withholding of removal because she failed, as the immigration judge determined, to establish that she was persecuted in Romania, as that term has been interpreted by both this court and by the other circuit courts of appeals. Accordingly, even if the BIA, even if we assume the BIA erred by issuing the streamlined order in this case, any error in doing so was clearly harmless, and Chiorba would therefore not be entitled to any relief from this court. So the petition for review, therefore, must be dismissed.
Mr. Chester,
as
my colleague mentioned a moment ago, one of the claims made here by the applicant is that she was denied the right to present her entire story to the immigration judge. Could you give us your take on that particular contention?
A fair reading of the record, whatever was said, is that she was not. We know exactly what happened to her grandfather, which was more than 10 years earlier. We know exactly what happened to her father, which was 6 years earlier. In fact, as far as the father goes, the immigration judge asked questions about the father himself, and we know exactly what happened to her mother and her husband, who left Romania 1 year after the father and 5 years before she did. All of this came out. But the bottom line on the grandfather, which is the real issue, who were apparently opposed to collectivization, and the only way we know that is because it's in the record. That happened in the 60s, long before any of the events of this that concerned this court, that concerned the immigration judge. That happened during the communist regime of the dictator Ceausescu.
Mr. Chester, if I might say, if you know anything, which I'm sure you know a lot, about the history of these countries, they're still citing things that happened in the 1300s. Families, et cetera, et cetera.
But there's been no showing for all that occurred. Chiorba remained in Romania well after her father left, well after any of the events that concerned her grandfather. But we need not even reach that because regardless, if we look clearly at what she stated she suffered and we compare them to this court's precedent, particularly the Roman case, which we've cited, they do not come up to anything more than mere harassment. What she is alleging is that over a five-year period, approximately once a month, which would mean 60 times, she was called down to the police station for interrogations about why her father and then why her mother and her husband had left Romania, what they were doing in America, and how they were. That's the sum total of it. These interrogations lasted from 1.5 hour to, at most, 3 hours. After each interrogation, she was allowed to return home. Her parents and her husband sent her money on a regular basis with which to support herself, and that money was never confiscated. Gold was confiscated, yes, but we also know from the unrebutted State Department reports that apparently there's a problem with corruption in the Postal Service of Romania, which means, essentially, this is not directed at her because of one of the five stated grounds in the statute.
Equal opportunity theft.
Yes, Your Honor. Property. Persecution does not account for endemic country conditions. If it did, our gates would have to be open to virtually everyone in the third world because they all have a worse lifestyle than us. There's corruption in many countries. There's treatment that we would not consider.
It has occasionally been asserted that there's even corruption in Chicago.
Yes, Your Honor. The bottom line is she has to allege, and she had substantial evidence supported the immigration judge's determination that what she did allege did not come to more than mere harassment, possibly discrimination, but certainly no more than mere harassment, not persecution. If you look at the Roman case, which this court decided 3 years ago, where the petitioner apparently was interrogated something like 900 times. He lost his job. I mean, there was all sorts of problems that he suffered. What she suffered does not compare. Her house was never taken. Her property was never confiscated. She was never threatened with any kind of harm. She was never asked about any of her political views, about her racial, about her religion, or anything else. She was, as she developed the record, as her testimony, she was simply asked, why did your parents leave? Why did your husband leave? That's about it. That, under this court's precedent and under the BIA's precedent, does not constitute persecution. That is, of course, why, in this case, this is a perfect case, an appropriate case for streamlining. What the reg states, which is HCFR 3.1A73, the standards for streamlining are that the results are correct, any errors were harmless or immaterial, and the issue is squarely controlled by existing board or federal precedent, and doesn't involve application of precedent to novel factual situations, or the factual and legal issues raised on appeal are so insubstantial that a three-member board review is not warranted. This is exactly that kind of a case. Now, the reg does not require and actually tells the board member you're not to specify the exact reasons why you streamline. So it's kind of difficult. There are no real standards for this court to review as to why he did this. But clearly, this case fits within no standards. There is no novel legal issue presented here. There is controlling precedent.
Does this organizational matter continue under the Homeland Security Act?
We believe it will, yes, Your Honor. The streamlining? That's what you're asking, Your Honor? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have no reason to believe that's going to change. It will continue.
The structure of review of immigration judges' decisions is unaffected by the Homeland Security Act, is that what you're saying?
That is my understanding, yes, Your Honor. I am not aware of any changes that are pending in this regulation.
You don't have to change regulations if Congress has rewritten the statute.
That is correct, but there is... The short answer is no.
Obviously, it doesn't matter to this case, but all of us will have to figure out the new grounding under this rearrangement, which looks fairly thoroughgoing.
I believe it will be very similar to what we're doing right now. One final point.
I think there are a lot of people who strongly hope not, since the whole purpose of this reorganization was to improve the operation of this particular bureaucracy, and to have the bureaucrats saying, we're going to go on completely as before, is dispiriting.
The streamlining, the regulation is meant, and maybe it will succeed, maybe not, but it is meant to cut down on the backlog that we've had in this type of case. This court itself has held in Gwenchev that there's no constitutional right to an administrative appeal to the BIA. The Attorney General, through these regulations, is trying to reduce the backlog of cases that will be before and to give the BIA more discretion to employ its judicial resources to the more important cases and not to the routine cases, which of course will hopefully reduce the backlog, make the organization more efficient. Only time will tell if that will work. I'm not going to opine on that, but that's the goal here. At any rate, the issue for this court is this case.
Yep.
And in this case...
Thank you very much, Mr. Jensen.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Anything further, Mr. Mwangi?
No, Your Honor.
Well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.